Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
That's it. Gotta go, Rob. All right, what's happening? Tiki and Tierney on this busy day. Got a lot to get into, a lot on the Mahomes stuff, and not a good day for Deshaun Jackson. Let's go, Tiki and Tierney from our studios. The Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you certainty and you want certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Hope all is well on this beautiful Tuesday around the country. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. On Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney. Tiki, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
All's good, man. Beautiful day here in the Northeast. Mm-hmm. Can't complain. Mm-hmm. High humidity, though. I guess I can't complain a little bit. It is very
thick. It's been
thick
the last couple days. It has been thick. Kind of like Patty's bank account. Patty That's Mahomes' right. bank account. Now it's over $500 million. Keeps going up and up.
The more you dig into it, the more money they're trying to give them.
That's crazy.
But I gotta tell you, it's $503 million over 12 years or 11 years, really, if he sticks out the entirety of this deal. But there's so many mitigating factors. The likelihood of him getting all the way to the end with this deal unchanged is unlikely. Mm-hmm. And we'll get into some of those details as we go on. But the biggest thing here, BT, is that it feels like for the first time with a quarterback, and you know how I feel about quarterbacks, they get these outsized deals, the next largest just because you're next in line to get a deal. This one actually felt like Pat Mahomes and his representatives sat down with the Kansas City Chiefs and said, let's do something together. Let's mm-hmm. not just toss back ideas back and forth. Like, here's my proposal. Here's our proposal. Here's my proposal. Here's my counter proposal. It didn't seem like that. It sounded like, you know, just from listening to Patty Mahomes, we have some sound from him talking about this. It sounded like the idea to do something that would make him financially wealthy and generationally wealthy was one, but two, and maybe as important, was to be able to continue to build and put good pieces around him for the foreseeable future was yep. also a priority. And when that happens, you get a different type of deal, a 10-year engagement, which is rare because most people want to do 3 or 4 year deals like Dak Prescott so that they can take a second bite at the apple, realizing that a lot of that money, say a six-year, $100-something million deal, it's basically phony money. It's not really there. But when you do something like this, it's not only real with no trade clauses, but it's also very beneficial to the team when they decide to they need to sign other players also.
I want to play something. You mentioned we have some sound here from Pat, and he spoke today. They had a Zoom press conference. They asked him some questions, and you know, he does what he does, and he just so seamlessly strikes a perfect balance between self and team and humility. It's a little lengthy. It's about 40 seconds, but it's certainly worth playing. This was Patrick Mahomes today.
Obviously, I wanted the security to take care of my family and my future generations of family, but I also wanted to keep really good football players around me. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie and say that having a great football team around me doesn't help me when I'm on the field. And so I wanted to find the best way that I could do that. And I feel like as we talked that they came to me with this idea and this concept of obviously making me financially secure, but having the ability to go out and re-sign all these guys. And like we're returning 20 or 21 of 22 starters. I knew that this was the way that was going to be the right way to do it, where we can accomplish both of those things that are so important to me.
Listen, it's a great way to look at it, you know, and It's I don't want to say, I mean, maybe selfless is a bit strong because he got paid and rightfully so, but it's great awareness. It's the ultimate team sport. You know, I don't care, you know, who you are. There's no quarterback out there with a sloppy old line or a lack of receivers or a defense that gives up, you know, 40-something points a week, basically, that's willing a team to a championship. You just don't get that in this sport. So for Mahomes to know that, and not only, I mean, I think a lot of people know that, but for Mahomes to actually put that into play contractually is just a further testament as to what kind of young man he is. He's just a great kid.
I think you're right, BT, and I think his teammates will embrace that because they'll look at him and he'll walk in with his chest puffed high whenever they all get back together and everybody, you know how this works. People are like, oh, you got paid, you got all the money, you're buying all the drinks. And so there's a respect that comes from that, right? It's when someone gets paid on your team, it's like you all look up to him. You exalt him because he's accomplished what every player is after. Mm-hmm. But he, at the same time, left room, or at least the flexibility for the Kansas City Chiefs to also pay everybody else that deserves to be paid. And that's what's rare. Sometimes it gets to the point where you sign one of these guys and it's like, God, you paid him a lot of money. Everybody's like, yeah, good for you, good job. But then they're like, dude, I'm not signing here. I mean, they don't have any money left against the cap, you know, in the next 3 or 4 years. So great for you, Patty, but I got to go someplace else. That's not the case here. And I think it's awesome. I think it's precedent setting. I think it changes the narrative of quarterbacks in the National Football League, because Patty Mahomes' deal, while it looks enormous if he plays it out to $503 million, but in reality, what you look at is the guaranteed money. It's $140+ million that's guaranteed, and everything else is kind of contingent. Now, contingent could mean it goes down if he has down years, or it could mean he renegotiates after 2025 and gets really, really paid once the salary cap goes up to about $300 million, they're estimating, based on the new television rights deal that will be negotiated next offseason, BT. Crazy. So, and again, we said this yesterday, and it was kind of just a thought that we threw out there, but in reality, in like five or six years, this deal might feel small relative to where the cap is going.
It could. And you know what's amazing? I was thinking about this earlier, too. Like, try to just funnel through all the sports here. And, you know, the Angels have done this with Mike Trout. The Phillies have done this. The Nats tried to. The Phillies have done this with Bryce Harper, obviously. Garrett Cole just got a ton of bang from the Yankees. And, you know, we all know the name. Strasburg, $35 million a season. Nolan Arenado, $35 million a year for the Rockies. You can make the case that there's nobody, with the exception of LeBron, there's nobody else in sports right now that's worth this kind of treatment.
No.
Not even Mike Trout, because I can make a very easy and very intelligent plea that the Angels, even though Mike Trout might go down as one of the five greatest players of all time, up there with Babe Ruth and Willie Mays and Hank Aaron and Griffey and whomever, Ty Cobb, whatever list you have. I mean, he's going to eventually possibly permeate that space. Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, but somebody like Mike Trout, or at least more specific, the Angels, would probably be in a better place in terms of wins and losses if they took all that money, right, and dispersed it, you know, top of the rotation, maybe two or three other position players, if Mike Trout wasn't there. Now, I know that sounds reckless, and it's not a shot at Mike. It's an acknowledgement that the sport of baseball is very unique. And I really thought about this. I'm like, man, I the only sport, all right, you know, if you tell me that, you know, when LeBron was 25, of course you would do this. When MJ was 25, yeah, Kobe, yeah. But really the only justification in my mind would be some of the greatest, and it's odd that I'm going to go for this reference, which I never do, would be some of the greatest hockey goalies of all time. Guys like Martin Brodeur, guys like Dominic Hasek, guys that played into their 40s that won big late. You know, that's a position that holds up deep into your 30s and you're knocking on the doorstep of 40. So I say all this because it's a lot of money. He's worth every penny. And the uniqueness of his branding and his talents, I really don't know. I really don't. If there's anybody else, I think he's on a one-man island right now in 2020 in terms of team sports.
Yeah, because when you think about it, BT, we talk about this in basketball. A superstar, a LeBron or a KD, can kind of help will his team to a championship, even if the supporting cast is not similarly elite. In baseball, I mean, you could have the greatest player on your team, like the greatest player in the history of the game you could have on your team, whether he's a pitcher or a position player, and it's not necessarily going to win you a championship. I think with Patty Mahomes, why this feels so unique, because in a game that is all about the guard, the tackle, the running back, the wide receiver, the defensive back, the system, the head coach, the strength and conditioning, like everything matters in football. Mm-hmm. Patty Mahomes seems to have this uplifting ability that transcends all of that, right? Andy Reid's a great coach. Mahomes made him better, you know what I mean, as a coach, which is saying a lot. It usually works the other way. And, of course, it does symbiotically work the other way with Andy Reid also making Pat Mahomes better as well. But it just feels like Patty Mahomes is the catalyst, right? He is that key turn that changes this Kansas City Chiefs team into a winner. Alex Smith was really good for a long time. He could never get over the hump. Pat Mahomes comes in 1 year after Alex Smith leaves, and he wins the MVP, and 2 years later he wins the Super Bowl, and he's 24 years old, right? He's not even 25 yet. And that just tells you something about who he is and what he means to people around him. And that influence is not always, it's not always tangible. Like you can't always like write it down and document it and say, this is what changed and this is how he made everybody better, but it just happens. And that's rare in sport, for any sport.
It is. He's, I don't think he's going to change either. Like that youthful exuberance to me, let's think of some players that really, even into their 30s, played with an unbridled passion. Because, that youthful exuberance that is such a staple, such a hallmark to his game. Clearly, it's the rocket front arm. It's the ability to improvise from every slot, throw against the grain, throw it 70 yards on a clothesline. We all know that stuff. The IQ, the anticipatory skills, the improvisational skills. I mean, what a toolbox we just ran through. Check, 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 check. He's got them all. But it's what gives him great crossover appeal and great sustainability is this relatability, you know? And, you know, like, I'm just going through some of the greats of all time. Like, Peyton was robotic. His genius was his robotic, detailed-oriented nature. Almost like a Bryson DeChambeau, not so much with the camera guy, but with, like, the physics, and like that's kind of the way Peyton.
Yeah, his process and attacking the defense and manipulating a D and making you think something was coming and it wasn't. He was completely on the other side. Yeah.
Yep.
He was absolutely mechanical like that.
And Brady is surgical like as well. A little more emotional. Well, I'd say fairly more emotional than Peyton, but also surgical like in his precision, in his MO. Joe Montana was not incredibly effusive. I mean, he had good body language, as I recollect there. Dan Marino was a guy who was pretty fiery and played with that grit and that spunk. And he, you know, really up until he ruptured his Achilles, even when Dan was getting older, he projected that. Mahomes, boy, he's a gift. He's a gift from the sporting gods. Like, I'm trying to think about the perfect way to frame this, and sometimes there is no perfect way. This young man was just, you know, dumped into the sporting landscape, bestowed upon us here. And we will all be, you know, far richer in terms of our sporting sports viewing, our habits, our enjoyment, you know, what we extrapolate from the games in terms of that fandom. That guy's awesome.
Yeah.
He's fun to watch. He's a great talent. He's a great kid. Bottom line.
And I think there's an example, a precedent that's being set right now with this Patty Mahomes deal. And it's not that he's making $40 million a year over the next, you know, over the length of the deal, because theoretically you could say that he's averaging $40 million a year. But it, the structure of this deal is what's really game-changing for quarterbacks. And while I don't believe that any of the current guys that are available for extensions, like Dak Prescott, like Deshaun Watson in another year, are in the same category, how this deal was structured can be very informative for those guys, because it can give you security, right? Yeah. This long-term security, but not necessarily crush the cap. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, how do you get there? And it's the guarantee mechanisms incentives in this deal, which most people had never heard of. And honestly, I didn't know the full details of it until I dug into it. Essentially, once the league year comes back around, you're guaranteeing the next year's deal. And for Patty Mahomes, it's a two-year lag or a two-year guarantee mechanism. So his 2024 salary, 2024 league year is guaranteeing his 2026 salary, which basically means you can't cut him, which is unique. And it's different because it keeps that money from smashing the cap in those current years. And I think if you're a Dak Prescott, if you're Deshaun Watson, you're any of these quarterbacks that are coming up, you have to think about this. And it changes the way that you get paid now. You know what I mean? Because right now, at least historically, it's always been about how much money can I make on guarantees? How much am I going to get up front? And how much of the $140 or $30 million is going to be guaranteed? Now you can put in these new mechanisms, even though I think they've been around, they just haven't been used a lot.
These new mechanisms,
if the team knows that you are the man, and you are going to be the man for a long time, then you can do this, and it makes it so much more cap-friendly for teams and allows you to keep a good team around you. I think it's great. The challenge is how many players in the NFL, BT, are guaranteed to be the man for the next 7, 8, 9, or 10 years like Patty Mahomes is?
Well, first of all, the answer is none. So now we have to start with, you know, a reasonable approximation of Patrick Mahomes. And I'll give you one, all right? And as much as I love Darnold, not Sam Darnold, not Josh Allen, it's not Baker Mayfield, I don't even believe it will be Tua. I don't believe it will be Joe Burrow or Herbert. If you said, all right, B, you've got to anoint one person, and we'll stick this in the Tiki and Tierney time capsule and see where it takes us, that will get something like this kind of a structure, I would say Kyler Murray. That's who I would say.
Interesting. Kyler Murray because he's got the perfect situation with his head coach, an offense that will be built around him, and he's relatively healthy over the course of his college career. Mm-hmm. You got to assume the same in the National Football League, and if he keeps growing the way that he grew in his rookie season, it's a good guess. You know, the other one that people are throwing out is Lamar Jackson, only because of those same circumstances that I just mentioned. This offense is built specifically for him, and he's excelled in it. The challenge with Lamar Jackson is he's a hit away. Like you're always worried about that one strike that changes his game, and it's hard to play that way, but he's gotten away with it for the last couple of years at least. We'll see how long he does it.
Let's hope it keeps up, because he's a blast to watch, like Patty Mahomes as well. But bottom line is this: we're in a good space with quarterbacks. Like, there's no shortage of stories, you know, and even the guys that we didn't even mention, like, who knows what Dwayne Haskins does this year? Daniel Jones is somebody that I'm very high on. I know you love the kid. I think he could be a star for the Giants. I truly do. Carson Wentz, didn't even mention Carson. If Carson Wentz ever is lucky enough to have, you know, health, just an uninterrupted two-year window of good health, I mean, Carson Wentz might be the second best quarterback in football.
True. And he already got paid. So it's like there's no pressure for him.
Yeah.
Just stay healthy, dude.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we start with the good and earned every penny, and it's certainly going to be a recipe or a template for other teams to take parts of and you know, fuse into their negotiation processes with their quarterbacks moving forward. But then there's the bad, or more specifically, there is the ugly. Not a good day for DeSean Jackson, and rightfully so. We'll get to his Instagram posts. And we'll do that next. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. All righty. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS, sponsored by Geico. Do you know that right now Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Hopefully DeSean Jackson learned a little something in the last couple of hours. Hopefully he's, you know, middle of self-reflection and then just put up an apology just to placate people. Listen, one thing I've always said, obviously referencing his Instagram post that made the rounds last night. The Eagles have put out the statement. The NFL has put out the statement. DeSean has since put out in the apology. I'll play a little snippet for you in a minute. There's a lot of ways to go here. The first one, and people should know this, I don't even like talking about this stuff, but in invoking Hitler's name in this ridiculously misguided post, aspects of it was just alarmingly woeful, really, on every level. The guy could use a history lesson. I think that's pretty obvious. What I take away from this, though, and I don't think that you agree with me on this, and I want to get into this a little bit. Like, to me, and I'll even take him at his word that he's sincere in his apology. Because one thing that I've tried to do, when if somebody, there's too many people that grab the pitchfork and try to destroy lives based over words. Now, these words are reprehensible, all right? And I actually reached out to a few of my Jewish buddies to get their thoughts, all right? This is something I've been doing the last couple hours. How did you interpret that? Because everybody interprets it differently, all right? And I think that the inequity here is alarming. Like, when Drew Brees said what he said, now, as Drew Brees prefaced to get to his main point, what he said was absolutely offensive and something that Drew Brees needed to circle back to, which he did five times. And he was crushed in the court of public opinion. He was lambasted by teammates that weren't even necessarily, that knew his character, that weren't necessarily willing to give him a fair chance until they were. That's been smoothed over. But here's my question. In the chase of for equality, which is what we're all after, has one NFL player gotten on social media and denounced the words of DeSean Jackson in that post?
No. Let's tell people who have not heard this what DeSean Jackson actually said. So, okay. DeSean Jackson on, I guess it was Saturday night, or maybe it was in Sunday as well, was posting a lot about Louis Farrakhan, who is notoriously anti-Semitic and also homophobic, but that's neither here nor there for this conversation. But he posted an image, essentially what he said, trying to uplift and inspire African Americans. And the point of the quote that he was pointing to that was uplifting was the following. This is a quote. Quote, they will, it's sick here, they, it says the, but they will extort America. Their plan for world domination won't work if the Negroes know who they are. Now, that's a quote of a bit of a dialogue that was attributed to Adolf Hitler. The problem is twofold. One, he's not uplifting because he's ignorantly retweeting or referencing something that has been proven not to be attributed to Adolf Hitler. Not mm-hmm. that you would want to do that anyways, but it just invalidates, you know, kind of this history lesson that he was trying to espouse and to push out. Mm-hmm. The Jews aren't the citizens of Israel, the real citizens of Israel. It's the blacks, the Negroes who are. That's what this post said. It is long been proven to be a false attribution to really anybody. It's just kind of made up. It made its way around the internet in 2017, and DeSean Jackson, grasped upon it to inspire the African American community. And obviously, it was met with tons of backlash, including from the Philadelphia Eagles, whose owner Jeffrey Lurie is Jewish. And he was not forced, but I'm going to say he was forced to put out an apology and use his social platform. Here is DeSean Jackson apologizing for his post over the weekend.
I've been getting a lot of backlash and feedback from an Instagram post that I put on my Instagram story. I just want to, first off, extend an apology on the behalf of me and what I stand for, because I'm one that's fair, and I never want to put any race down or any people down. My post was definitely not intended for anybody of any race to feel any type of way, especially the Jewish community. When I posted what I posted, I definitely didn't mean it to the extent that you guys took it. Probably shouldn't have never posted anything that Hitler did, because Hitler was a bad person, and I know that. And, I was just trying to uplift, African-Americans and slavery and, just enlighten my people. So on behalf of myself, I just want to let you guys know I apologize.
Now, the problem is when you try to enlighten people with ignorance, you make everybody else ignorant and vitriolic and everything else. So mm-hmm. This sounded stupid to me. It sounded uneducated. Of course, it was anti-Semitic. But here's the difference between DeSean Jackson and Drew Brees. DeSean Jackson didn't play in any of last year, really, for the Philadelphia Eagles. I don't think that he's looked at as a leader in that locker room. He's more of an old head who's been around and he's still got pretty good speed. But his influence, his message is not necessarily important to the Eagles or the Philadelphia community. Maybe to his million followers, probably half of whom are false or fake anyways. Mm-hmm. But for Drew Brees, Drew Brees is viewed very prominently in his locker room, in his community, as a leader, as an icon, as someone to look up to, someone that you want to be around and be influenced by and tell your kids about and teach your kids about. And so when he makes a mistake, when he falls down, it's important to show the fallacy of his ways. Whereas DeSean Jackson, he doesn't have that kind of respect. And I think that, you know, by like using that as a narrative towards something else, it just doesn't resonate, because I don't know who's listening to DeSean Jackson, but I do know who was or maybe now is definitely listening to Drew Brees, if that makes any sense.
It makes sense. I was following you. Yeah, I mean, I get it. You're a quarterback. You're a Super Bowl champion. You're prominent in the community. You've been with the same team for well over a decade. You're a no-doubt first ballot Hall of Famer. You might have a future in politics. No, there will be more, if he wants one, there will be more eyes and reaction, vitriol, and then sensitivity after it, or understanding, hopefully. And I think we've gotten to a good place with Drew, everybody, most importantly his teammates, after that little gaffe, misspeak, or not even a misspeak. I just don't think he
lacked empathy.
I think he communicated his point, and upon further review, he realized his point was off the mark.
Mm-hmm.
With DeSean, I hear you. You know, bounce around now, a couple different teams, wide receiver, not nearly as prominent. He can fade into obscurity, and, you know, with all the respect, nobody's going to really miss him outside of his hardcore fans. You know, but ignorance is not an excuse. And I was very,
I'm not saying up. Ignorance is an
no,
excuse.
No,
I'm just saying when someone
but
who
neither
is insignificant,
should popularity be.
But when someone who is insignificant in this current conversation says something ignorant, and it's clearly not an educated thought, it's not something, it took a cursory background check to realize that this quote was fake. Right. So are you researching, or are you just listening? You're listening to what someone is saying and using it to enlighten your people. It doesn't make any sense. And it's also it's hate speech. Who enlightens people with hate speech? It doesn't make any sense to me. And so I choose to ignore someone like that because there's no good that comes from it.
I got
you. Know what I mean? And
Drew
Brees wasn't speaking hate speech. He was condemning the actions of peaceful protesters by standing up for why he, or at least espousing why he stands for the flag, mm-hmm. not really realizing that he was belittling
a movement.
No,
understood.
You know what I mean?
And understood. I was watching and I was bouncing around. And I was down in my basement long enough before the show, whatever, just doing a little workout. But I was in the same space long enough to bounce from channel to channel, record stuff, and get a sense of how it was being reported. And everybody missed the mark, man. Listen, I love the NFL Network. I've got friends there. You've got friends there. I've been on it. You've been on it. They really do great work. They truly do. But I'm watching the NFL Network today, and they play his apology, and it's like the third story as they rattle through a couple of different things, and they just move on like it's just an innocuous, little ripple in the ocean that's not going to capsize any boat. It was incredibly inconsistent the way this story was covered on
Why?
ESPN.
Why was it inconsistent?
Why was it inconsistent?
Yeah,
because. I don't want to bring Drew back into it, but when Drew Brees said what he said, it was a 5-day discussion.
Yeah, because Drew Brees is a leader for the New Orleans Saints. He's a leader in New Orleans. He's a leader in San Diego. He's a leader in the National Football League. He's a leader in his community.
Let me ask you a question.
He's someone who matters and is very relevant, whether he's playing football or not.
Okay.
DeSean Jackson is not that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
And so I got you. But I got it.
And let's also not forget. Drew Brees is white. talking about an issue that affects primarily African Americans in this country. Okay. Whereas Deshaun Jackson is a black athlete who maybe he does or doesn't, has felt oppressed by the system that surrounds that he in the country that he lives in.
Yep.
And so it's like he's coming out of something, while, whereas a white athlete has never had to come out of it. White athletes get, or white people get the benefit of the doubt in this country, right? African Americans don't, especially black Americans.
I don't agree with that statement. A guy for the Kings just lost his job for what a lot of people would view, some people would view as a tweet that wasn't even offensive.
That's because a private enterprise, like a sports entity. I'm not talking about in the world of sports. In the world of sports, if you do something wrong, there's a reckoning that's happening really quickly.
Well, what's Deshaun Jackson's reckoning?
Look, I think he's going to get cut. I really do.
And but is he going to get cut because he can't play? Or is he going to get cut because of what he said?
Aren't they the same?
I don't know. What's the line of delineation? If he's a five-time All-Pro and he's 25, he ain't getting cut.
If he could still play, he wouldn't get cut.
Correct.
He can't play anymore.
And by the way, Teak, I don't want to see him get cut because Riley Cooper didn't get cut. Same franchise, right?
Yeah.
You know what's incredible, too? I checked, and at one point, and this is a little disheartening, at one point, Riley Cooper was trending above Deshaun Jackson's name, which could only mean, and I didn't even want to get into the murkiness of Twitter, like reading too much. I just wanted to check the pulse and move on. Otherwise, you're there all day, and, you know, it is what it is. But I don't know if Riley Cooper is trending before Deshaun Jackson today. Doesn't that mean that a lot of people are invoking his name and using that as a comparison to almost deflect what Deshaun Jackson said? Why else would he be trending number one?
Look, potentially, and I don't know the thinking of Twitter. It's 10% of the population that is heavily active on it, and I can't base my judgments on life based on what people on the Twitter wave.
But a lot
saying.
Of people do, Teak.
I know, but I don't.
Okay. No, I got you.
And so I got
you.
I can only speak for myself.
I got you.
I prefer to educate myself and to learn about things myself and draw my opinions on what I can regenerate myself.
Yep.
You know, not what the populace is saying on social media. And so Riley Cooper, you know, was one of those situations that at the time it was a different world that we lived in. As crazy as that sounds, it was only what, 6 years ago, maybe not even 6 years ago. It just felt like the world was in a different place.
Yeah. No,
right?
I agree.
And then where it is now.
Yep.
And I'm not forgiving Deshaun Jackson, but Deshaun Jackson immediately knew the error of his ways after the backlash. And this is why I honestly believe, and you say ignorance is not an excuse, you're right, but this was an ignorant comment. I don't think he realized what he was doing when he posted this image of a line that included Hitler's name at the top, which is not attributable to Hitler, by the way.
It's an erroneous attribution.
Exactly.
For those who just tuned in, it wasn't accurate.
It's almost annoying, right? When someone, you know, is so uneducated that they post things trying to uplift with false information or false history, it's annoying. It's more troublesome, but it's annoying to me. Mm-hmm. But when someone tries to use, you know, their real experiences to put down another person, another race, or another culture, that's what really draws my ire. What Deshaun Jackson did, I look at as I don't want to say it's just lazy,
uninformed,
stupid, uninformed.
I got you.
Drivel. And I can't, it's hard to justify it.
I got you.
You know what I mean?
I think that's a good way to end it. I got you on that. I got you. All right. Little late update. Ack. We'll get to inbounds, out of bounds after that. Here's Ack's update coming at you right now. Go ahead, Ack. Inbounds, out of bounds time. This portion of Tiki and Tierney brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's there to help you out with supplies and solutions for every industry, safety recovery guides, 24/7 support and more. Visit Grainger.com/recovery. Grainger for the ones who get it done. Next hour, it's Popovich. Are the Nets going to really try to secure him with a Godfather deal, a deal you can't replace? We'll get to that coming up in hour two, but right now it's a little inbounds, out of bounds. Let's go, D-Cell. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, we start with Jadeveon Clowney, still a free agent, and he's been linked to a couple different teams over the months here, Seattle, Tennessee. the Browns as well. But a new team's reportedly emerging, entering the fray. How about this? According to reports, John Gruden wants Clowney bad, but GM Mike Mayock isn't willing to bet the farm, so the team's offered to the former number one overall pick is apparently lower than the others. In or out, the Raiders would be serious contenders in the AFC if they had Clowney. What do you got?
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to say no.
Oh.
Because in the AFC, you still have the Kansas City Chiefs, man. And so, yeah, they'd be good contenders. But they'd be the second tier, right? It's still going to be the Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. Who knows if Big Ben is healthy, if he's actually healthy when the season starts, the Steelers, who have built a defense with that Minkah Fitzpatrick trade and other draft choices and maturations over the last couple of years, to one of those profoundly good, historically good Steelers defenses. Mm-hmm. So there's some challenges to that. Jadeveon Clowney will be a difference maker, of course, but I think there's still a few too many holes in Oakland for them to just sign one player and all of a sudden be at the top of the heap.
I really like the Raiders. Every time this comes up, I give them a lot more love than Tiki, and I'm going to give them a lot more love here. My answer is inbounds. Now, I think you get a little sub-package with Mariota that keeps things fresh and gets a few first downs and a couple of trick plays, blah, blah, blah. Excuse me. You know that Josh Jacobs can run. You got a pretty good tight end in Walder. You have a good offensive line. You got Renfro as a slot guy. You got Ruggs who's burning, So you got Tyrell Williams. There's talent here. And Clowney on that defensive side of the ball. Abraham's the safety. Abraham will come back to safety. Got hurt during Hard Knocks. Remember that? I think that because they're going to score points, they could score a lot, and they could jump on you early. And if you allow Clowney, though he's not a conventional pin-your-ear-backs and get 20 sack kind of a guy, but if you throw him in creative spots and the Raiders have some leads, then, you could really do some interesting creative things defensively with the pass rush. I say inbounds. I disagree. I think the Raiders would be in the mix.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, the Yankees and their late owner, George Steinbrenner, rest in peace, George, instituted a policy that still stands today where players can't have any facial hair other than a regular mustache or long hair below the collar. Remember Mattingly with the Simpsons episode? They torched my boy Donnie with that. Ridiculous. Now, while the policy has an impact on the team's success on the field, as we know, former Yankee Andrew McCutchen discussed how the policy hurts players' individuality on the Sports Bubble podcast.
You feel a little more, fit powerful when you put that uniform on. But, those policies of shaving and letting the jersey speak for itself, I definitely do think it takes away from our individualism as players and as people. We express ourselves in different ways. For me, when I was on the Pirates and me having my dreadlocks, I'd be lying to you if I said if I had to go to got traded over to the Yankees and I said, you got to shave your hair. For me, that was a very tough thing to do because that was who I was. That was how I expressed myself. That's who made me Andrew McCutchen. That's how people noticed who I was. It made me unique.
Okay, in or out? Interesting stuff from Andrew McCutchen there, one of the good guys in the game. The Yankees should change the policy and allow players to express themselves with long hair and facial hair.
Can I do like a halfway answer here, BT? Because I want to say inbounds to this. They do need to let guys have some individuality with with how they look. And, just think if a guy had dreadlocks and it was part of his, culture. Mm-hmm. Or a guy just, has issues with his face and wants to grow a tight beard, but not necessarily, a big shaggy one. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to say yes. Because I think in some ways it's defining, the appearance of guys, when especially how they, grow their hair or grow facial hair.
Yep.
But I also don't want to see the Yankees, who are so storied, turn into, this unseemly, unsightly, unkempt, type of team. Because I think that's part of their appeal as well. So
yep.
I'm going to say inbounds, but... I'm not harshly in bounds.
I hear you. I'm going to say out of bounds, but not harshly out of bounds. And, I know that you couldn't do this because it wouldn't be fair, but what would be a good solution, even if it's only temporary? Like, if you decide to sign a free agent contract, like Gerrit Cole, knew what he signed up for, you get the $300 million, you got to trim the hair a little bit, if you have to do something with the facial hair, that's fine. But if you get traded to the Yankees and it's out of your control, right? I would like to see, for the remainder of that season, like that, like not that you hit pause on a policy, but that player,
I know what you're saying, though,
could almost like, if he's coming from the Phillies or coming from the Pirates, and he's coming with dreads or he's coming with a big time beard, whatever it might be, I would almost like to see some common middle ground, because he went there and it wasn't under his own volition. But if you sign there as a free agent, you know the rules in advance. Right. You can't have it that way, because other guys wouldn't view it as equitable. I see what he's saying. I hear him and I feel him, but I'm gonna stay out of bounds on this. But I get it.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, so a lot of focus on baseball and NBA's restart plans. The NHL quietly working under the radar, reportedly agreeing to start on August 1st. Nothing like hockey in August, huh? In the process, the league also ironed out a new CBA, which wasn't set to expire for another two seasons, so very proactive there, extending the offer through 2025-26 and allowing players to participate in the next two Winter Olympics. So, here it is. It is actually better for leagues to have contentious public labor disputes rather than quiet, prolonged labor peace.
I'm kind of agnostic on this question. I'm going to say out of bounds, because I think it just leads to negativity around owners or players. And again, that's fleeting when it's public, that is. I'm going to say out of bounds. It doesn't need to be public, but when it's fleeting. Like, you get mad at the owners, you get mad at the players, and as long as there's not an actual work stoppage, the fan doesn't really care. And I think if it gets too public, as we've seen with Major League Baseball and their restart plan, it sows distrust. So I'm going to say it's not better for them to be outward and contentious in public.
I'm going to say out of bounds too. I think what Mike was kind of fishing for was the PR. The emergence of a daily conversation. Like, you know, hockey was sold behind the scenes, behind the curtain. They got this done peacefully. There was no acrimony. Not that we'd be discussing it daily anyway, because it's hockey, and it's lower on the totem pole on this show and most major shows, with all due respect. But, like, the baseball acrimony that plays out with this football, basketball, that's different. So maybe the NHL would have received a little pop here, but not enough to justify any contentious infiltration that may have had a lasting effect. So I get the question, I get the angle, but I'm with NSA out of bounds on that as well. Greg Popovich, he would work with Kevin Durant, right? Yeah, he would. Anybody would. Would he work with Kyrie Irving? And this Godfather offer the Nets are reportedly plotting. Should they really throw it on the table? Should they really go after Pop? Would it work? We'll get to that coming up next. Hour 2, TV and Tony, CBS Sports Radio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.